So again, this week's parasha has a special pasuk that tells us v'hafta mesager. That means even though we normally have a 613 obligation to love every single Jew, there's an extra 613 obligation to love a ger. In general, as I like to say, if there are 613 mitzvahs, is a mekubal by Klal Yisrael, but it's clearly not so understandable where it came from. There's no
22 places in the Torah that say we are 36.
That's on the ger. Well, I'm a step before that. On the 613 mitzvahs, there are very few places where it says there are 613 mitzvahs. The Ramban even asks on the Rambam, when he disagrees with the Rambam what they are, he says, who says there's 613? If you look through the entire Shas, you'll find much less than 36 places, maybe 5. So you have a Gemara Makkos, at the end of Makkos, it says that the word Torah is Gematria 611. Right. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave 2, Torah, Tziva Moshe gave 611, Hashem gave 2, which total 613. And the Ramban says, nobody argues on him. Do you have how many Gemaras nobody argues on? So it could be people argue on him. As well, they bring down the obvious kasha. The 2 Dibros Rishonis are not clear those are Dibros Rishonis. There might be more than 2 of the 613 within those first Dibros Rishonis. The first Dibur, it says, Anoichi Hashem, might not even be 613 at all. That just might be a statement, I am Hashem. And idolatry might be four negative commandments, which has even more after that. But either way, we accept there are 613. In the end, there are 613 commandments accepted by Klal Yisrael. What the 613 are now become a debate between the Ga'onim, the Rishonim, and that's endless conversation, what the 613 are. But according to many of the 613, there is one called love every Jew, and then one called love a convert. But the truth is, the obvious question is going to be, what do you mean love a convert? He's already a Jew. The fact that you're telling a guy I love a convert in a way is, it's anticlimactic. What do you mean? Of course I love the convert. He's already a Jew. If I have to love every Jew and a convert becomes a Jew, then of course I have to love the convert. He's already a Jew. So why would you have to have 2 separate commandments? The second commandment might be a contradiction to the first commandment. It might be that really he's not such a Jew, but I still have to love him. That's what it would sound like. Otherwise, it would say love every Jew, and whoever's a Jew means every Jew. If a convert comes over to you and says, am I a Jew? Your answer should be immediately, of course you're a Jew. So do you have to love me separately? No, I love you because you're a Jew. No, Torah says love you because you're a convert, which means even once someone becomes a Jew as a convert, there is something different in the aspect of him being a Jew or a convert. There's a secondary step, according to most of the Rishonim, that gives you a secondary command. Not as a 613 necessarily. When it comes to the 613, how you divide the 6... Now, there are many more obligations than 613. Shabbos alone, you have 4 volumes from Rabbi Ibriyat, right? Obligations, we have much more than 613. That's thousands and tens of thousands of obligations we have. What's considered as a 613 commandment, what we'll call a master commandment, like you use such a phrase, that becomes a separate conversation. So yes, you're going to find a lot of commandments. What has to be a 613 is a machloek is what gets into the 613, obviously. Because that depends on each one of the Rishonim and Goyim and what they count as a 613. But within the Klolim of 613, you're not going to have a repeat commandment. Otherwise, you could have, let's say, love the Ger, that would be 45 commandments. That's not 45 out of 613. Shabbos, you could say 39 Malachas, and of the 613 of 39 Malachas of Shabbos, that doesn't work that way. So each one becomes a master idea, and then within it, we find multiple types of laws. So if something is always included, and they're always, Avodah Zarah says many times, we don't count Avodah Zarah multiple times. We always have to find a difference within the 613 to be a 613 of the number 613, even though afterward, again, there's going to be multiple levels of what obligations each person has. So I decided we're not going to get into that full question I just discussed v'aftan tzager. Depends on the timing, but now we just lost some minutes here. So we'll go into the Gemara Yevamos and see how there is a situation where a ger might be very different than what you would assume. So the Gemara is a machlekes. One of the 613 commandments that almost everyone agrees. Now, by the way, am I going too fast yet? Good. So of the 613... we have an obligation that we accept, even though Ramban asks it, and other Goyim asks, we accept our 613. Now, what the order of the 613 are, I don't think there's a major difference. I haven't yet really found in Halacha if one's listed number 1 by the Rambam or it's listed number 27. I doubt there's any difference whatsoever. What is the order of the 613? Really depends on how you want to divide it up. So the Sefer HaChinuch, anonymously written in the 1300s, and he really writes that he didn't do anything. Everyone says that. But what he does mostly follows the Rambam's sheets of the 613. Again, the Rambam, the Ramban, and then there are many other versions of what the 613 would be. So he does it, not in the order of the Rambam, even though he goes with the 613 of the Rambam 99% of the time. His order goes on the Parshas of the Torah. The Rambam does not do it. The Rambam divides it by books and then does within the books. The Sefer HaChinuch divided the same 613 in the order of the first mitzvah. The first mitzvah is going to be the first one given. It's going to be pruvu. Pruvu is the first mitzvah listed. It doesn't mean it's the first mitzvah and it's more valuable necessarily, but it's the first mitzvah listed by the Sefer HaChinuch because it's in the early parshas. The source for it will either be by Adam or by Noach. That's a 3-hour conversation. But either way, early on at one point, there was a commandment called Pruvu that the Gemara in Sanhedrin says non-Jews, at least at that time for sure, maybe later, were obligated to have children. We only have 7 mitzvahs b'nei Noach nowadays. But at one point prior to Sinai, there was what's called Noach laws, might have been slightly different what we have today, and they might have been obligated more than we are. The Gemara Sanhedrin says, Goyim definitely were obligated in the mitzvah Peruvu prior to Sinai. Now what happens like this. So a guy's a Goy, and he has children nowadays. He might not have the mitzvah Peruvu. I would say might not, because the disagreement, but let's assume he does not. Most people hold that Goyim today have 7 mitzvahs, and when you list the 7 mitzvahs, Peruvu does not make the cut of 7 mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. So the guy's a Goy, and he has children. He got married, his wife's a Goy, probably. 2 Goyim got married, they produced a bunch of children. And then they decide to convert to Judaism. And they convert to Judaism successfully. We push them away, we do all the halachas, and now they become full-fledged Jews. We love them as Jews and as converts, as we discussed in this week's parasha. We double love them. We love them because every Jew we have to love, and we also love the convert. What about the mitzvah of Peruvu with their non-Jewish children? So the first statement is a machlokes in the Gemara. The Gemara Yavama Samach Bey says, Hayale banim b'yosei avacham. A person had children when he was a non-Jew. Vinis Geyer, he converted to Judaism. Machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan says, Kayem Peruvu. He fulfills the mitzvah of Peruvu with these original children. We'll see what they are in a second.
Is he Megayer them also?
That will be, I'll get to that. We'll get to that in 10 seconds, or maybe 20 seconds. Rav Shlokka says he is not Mekayim Peruvu. No, those kids do not count. Again, we don't know the specific details yet. Gemara is vague. Gemara just says these children. Doesn't say what these children are. You both ask very good questions. Rabbi Yochanan says, why? Because the guy has kids. Your obligation is to produce kids. He has kids. Very vague terminology about a Gemara. You were supposed to produce kids as what? As a Jew, a non-Jew, but you produce kids. Rav Shlokka says you cannot produce kids. Why? Because we have a rule in Judaism. Yes, we love the ger. Yes, we love the convert. We're obligated to love the convert, but there's an obligation about the convert that we have to know. A convert is called, which also negated this week's parasha, Ger Shenes Geyer Kekotin Shener Ladami. Ger Shenes Geyer Kekotin Shener Ladami, under the most simplistic terms, means he starts fresh with no maternal or paternal relatives. He can technically, in biblical law, can marry his sister. He can marry his mother. Because why? It's not considered his mother. So Rabbi Shlokka says very simply, if that's not his mother, not his sister, goes the other way too. It would not be his brother, not be his child. Not be his child. You can't fulfill the mitzvah approval with these children. Whatever these children means, we'll get to in a second. But Rabbi Yochanan said, yes, you can fulfill the mitzvah with these children. We don't know what they are yet.
So, the man that he fulfilled the mitzvah.
Rabbi Yochanan.
So that means, when Noach, they have a mitzvah approval.
Maybe. No, you're 2 for 2, but both are maybes.
Okay.
Oh. So the Gemara says that Avikasha. Tosis first goes like this as well. Does Rabbi Yochanan disagree with the concept of Ger Katan Shenel Dami? Ask any high school kid in a regular yeshiva and tell him, do you know the phrase Ger Katan Shenel Dami? Most kids know the phrase. It's a universal phrase all over Shas, multiple times stated, negated multiple halachas, that someone who converts starts over fresh, no blood relatives whatsoever. So Tosis says, wait a second, let's go through this again. Rabbi Yochanan says the kids count. Rav Shlokka says the kids don't count. Why does Rav Shlokka say they don't count? Because relatives disappear. So Rabbi Yochanan holds they do count. That means what? Relatives are appear? How could that be such a question? How could it be that Rav Yochanan is going to disagree with a klal in Kol HaTorah Kula? Tosis Kash on the side, which you two are about to ask. Afa gavdala inyan kama dvarim. Many things, gersh and isgayer, kekon shenel dami. That's Tosis Kasha. What's his answer? Mikom Akim, Tosis gives an answer that, well, there's something called related without being related. Quasi-relatives. As a joke, I'll say a shviga. Right? It's someone you are related to, but you don't want to be related to, or you do want to be related. You're not really sure what you're holding with these people. So Tosis says that because at one point the guy was born with a goyish child, at that point they're connected. Goyim connect with children. We believe that 100%. A guy is Yerush's father. A guy has real halachic children according to Jewish law. So since when the kid was born at that moment, there is some type of the word Tosis uses, miyuchas acharav. In English, what's miyuchas acharav? He identifies with him. That's not the right word, miyuchas. Related. Well, miyuchas related, fine. Since they were related, even though it's cotton chanel, Rabbi Yochanan says that's good enough to go. Since they were related. That's Tosis' answer. The Rambam, like you two says, wait a second. No. Rambam adds on a word. Rambam rules like Rabbi Yochanan. A ger counts as kids from that they were born biologically as non-Jews. The Rambam adds in a word, when does this work? When the kids convert as well. When the kids convert as well, then it works. But if the kids remain non-Jewish status, then the kids, according to the Rambam, he doesn't say it, but it's obvious. The Rambam says the kids count when they convert as well. Implying when the kids do not convert, they do not count. The Magen Mishnah, right on the Rambam, says that Tosfos that we just quoted is going to disagree with this Rambam. Since Tosfos asked the Kasha, "I, Rabbi Yochanan, ger katan shenei ladami," and Tosfos said, "Yeah, because when they were born, there was some connection." That means Tosfos is talking about 25 years ago, not today. So the Magen Mishnah wants to say there's a machloikis Rambam and Tosfos. When a convert converts to Judaism, and we rule like Rabbi Yochanan against Rabbi Shlokish according to the Rambam and Tosfos, that we rule like Rabbi Yochanan that previous non-Jewish born children, non-Jewish born children count toward the father's now mitzvah of Puruvu. He has a mitzvah today. He didn't have a mitzvah when he had the kids. When he had the kids, he was a non-Jew. He has seven mitzvahs to keep, not Puruvu. When he has the kids now, he now has new mitzvahs. As he converts, he takes on the 613 mitzvahs, maybe 606. But he takes on all the mitzvahs he has to take on. When he takes on certain mitzvahs, guess what? He can say, I checked the box on Puruvu. Why do I check the box on Puruvu? So according to the Rambam, because the kids converted with him, he's really not related to them, but the kids converted with him, which means even though they're not related, but it's good enough for the kids. And Tosha is going to say, no. The kids didn't have to convert with him, but at one point during the delivery, when they're in the hospital and they're taking pictures and bringing balloons, at that moment there was miyuchas. I forgot the word in English you said. I forgot the word you used. The relationship. So that relationship that occurred 21 years ago, which was real, in Jewish law, real, goyim and goyim have kids, real relationship, that relationship is good enough, whatever that means, that now as a Jewish person where he's obligated in Puruvu, he can count his still now non-Jewish children, according to Tosfos. He can count the non-Jewish children toward his present mitzvah, his present biblical mitzvah of Puruvu. According to Rambam, you have to add them in as well. They have to come along with you at the same time. That's all basic Rambam Tosfos. Are we leaving because I'm going too fast? Fine.
Hold on, I'll ask you a question. So the Yid Chazal Shalom married a guy from the same, right? And he had a kid, according to Tosfos. He's Mekayim?
Two for two, even a better question. So he has a question, this guy didn't hear. His question was, let's say a Jew, the guy, what'd you say?
A Yid married a guy.
Oh. Okay, I thought it was very, it's still very good, but I thought it was a different very good. If a Jew has a child, he can't marry, it doesn't work in physicality. If a Jew has a child with a non-Jew, it's fully accepted, open the Talmudic passage, that child does not count as all, because it's not your child. There is no, what was already used, no relationship. If a Jew has a child with a non-Jew, he's 100% Jew and she's 100% non-Jew, there is no relationship at the time of birth. That child is 100% guy, even according to Tosfos. Yes, the reverse is what I thought you were asking. The Mechas Chinuch asked a different question. We're saying, let me slow down, a guy with a guy will count the children depending Rambam and Tosfos, do the kids have to convert? The Mechas Chinuch has a question. What about a non-Jew, perfectly allowed, who has a child with a Jewish woman? And so at that moment in time, the same way a Jew with a non-Jew, the Jew gets no credit. The non-Jew with the Jew, the non-Jew doesn't need credit when he's a non-Jew. He doesn't have to do Puruvu. But when he converts, will he count that child? The Jew who has a child with a non-Jew, who then the adult converts, will he count that Jewish child that maybe he wasn't related to at that point in time? So the Mechas Chinuch says, like you're saying, they go together. The same way a Jew cannot count his child with a non-Jewish woman, a non-Jew cannot count his child with a Jewish woman. But that statement of Mechas Chinuch, as every statement of Mechas Chinuch, who I'm into, is disagreed by many people.
Even that child is converted?
The child doesn't have to convert.
No.
Doesn't have to convert. He's born from a Jewish woman. He doesn't have to. The child is the non-Jew who has a child with a Jewish woman. That child is 100% Jewish. No conversion required on that child. So even when the adult converts, according to the Mechas Chinuch, others disagree. Mechas Chinuch, that child will not count toward the father. The only time the guy convert can count his children is when they were done with a produced with a non-Jewish woman, and then Rambam and Tosfos, do they have to convert as well?
That's true. It doesn't make a difference.
If the child is, it depends, again, if it's a Jewish wife, a Jewish woman, and a non-Jewish male, then the kid does not need anything. He doesn't have to convert. His mother's Jewish.
Jewish.
Which case? The reverse case? The Jewish guy with the non-Jewish woman?
Yes.
Jewish guy with the non-Jewish woman is what he asked. According to everybody, that child is 100% not Jewish, not related, no relationship. When you come with balloons, that's all you're doing, bringing balloons. You are not related to that kid, which two people don't want to hear today in today's world.
Even he's converted?
Correct. Correct. Because if Tosfos is learning like he was saying and you were saying, that the only reason why the convert counts his non-Jewish children, Tosfos doesn't need a conversion. Because why? At that moment of birth, there was a connection. According to this case, the Jew with the non-Jew, at that moment of birth, there was no connection. So since there's no connection, that child, whatever happens, is irrelevant. You need that first moment of birth connection. That's how most people understand Tosfos. That in order for the non-Jew to count his still non-Jewish children, because according to Tosfos, they don't convert, because there's a connection. The Cheskana says that connection does not work if it was done with a Jewish mother. He was there. He was next. Whoever said who cares is right. I don't know who said it, but someone said, yeah. I don't want to be unemotional. He can say Kaddish for this ger can say Kaddish for his father, according to most people. Why? Akar Satoiv. You have to be nice to the person. If someone raises someone, yes, you have to be nice. There is, because you're asking it. The Shloima Kluga seems to say that if you adopt a child, it's a big debate, a whole different conversation. If you guys want, we'll pick it on Wednesday. There is a great debate on adopted children, what that means when the Gemara says, if someone, in Sanhedrin, your test, the Gemara says, if someone adopts a child, ki'ilu mekayim pruvu, what does the word ki'ilu mean? A general question, ki'ilu. When you get angry, you are considered an idolatrous person. Ki'ilu, are you actually an idolatrous person? Or ki'ilu gives you a way out. What does the word ki'ilu mean? So it says when you adopt a child, which would mean when you're saying you raise a child, there is potential to, the Gemara says, what the Gemara says, when you raise a child, it is as if you fulfilled pruvu. What does as if mean? Does as if mean literally? You're an idolatrous person. If you're a balgaiva, you're an idolatrous person. There's a lot of ki'ilus and shas. Do you want to have ki'ilu mean literally, like as if, yes? That can come out for good, and sometimes you're not going to want that. Or do you say as if, it's like it's a musa shmuz. You know, you're going to shul and someone says, you raised a child, we're giving you a shkayach, and then we'll give you a bracha about a wedding, and you walk down by the chuppah, and the Divrei Makil had a famous verse. The guy, he had a boss. Divrei Makil lived in Lomj, the Rav of Lomj, 1800s. So the Divrei Makil has a shaylah, it's in his tshuvas, where someone came to me at a goyisha boss, and his kids were getting married, and the goyisha boss basically insisted, I'm the boss, I'm paying for the wedding, I got to get a kibbutz. So he basically wrote a letter to the Lomj Rav. What do I do here? What am I doing with this guy? So I don't remember if Lomj Rav said it or that's the people that say on it. He said, you have him carry the ring. Carry the ring. So he told the boss, you're going to carry the ring. So it's a beautiful thing, carry the ring. But we know carry the ring is like maid of honor. It doesn't mean anything actually. It's nice words. People love being maid of honor. I'm not diminishing maid of honors and best mans, all this stuff. But in reality, like I think he's the one who said it. What'd you say? It's not anything. What was the phrase you used? Whatever phrase you used was good. It's worthless. You raise a kid, it's nice. I'm not diminishing that you paid for the kid.
So the Mishnah said,
there's no Mishnah yet. I didn't quote a Mishnah yet.
The Mishnah said, Ben Me'ah Hashuv Kemet. So Ishtu Moteret, like you said, Ki'ilu. What's Ki'ilu is?
Correct. So it's a general question. What does Ki'ilu mean? Correct.
So come here.
I have a scenario that troubles me. Suppose you have a non-Jewish man and a non-Jewish wife have a non-Jewish child. The man converts. The woman does not, but the child converts.
Right.
So the child is still the child of a non-Jewish woman.
Conversion means no relationship, but yes.
Yeah, okay, but the point
genetically.
But the point is, can the man who's converted, does that child count for him for Purim?
Absolutely. When it discusses this Gemara, it's talking about the male converting without the wife. The Rambam's going to say the kid, yes, but the Rambam does not, as far as I remember, need the wife to convert as well. If the kids convert, he now has Jewish children that he physically produced. It's not really related to them. It's a cute Rambam. I don't know. It's cute. The Rambam is saying that the guy converted and then his kids converted. Wife here, wife no. Those Jewish children were created by him. That counts for peruvu. And the woman has no mitzvah peruvu, according to most people. That's true also. Women have no peruvu. But he was talking about us, the conversion process. As far as Musar, I'm not sure as far as Halacha goes. We're talking about Halacha now. Yes, if anyone who helps anybody, gets Kamil Chasadim, gets Tzedakah, gets Shlishi, get a bracha by a wedding. We're talking about the Hilchas Peruvu. Does he fulfill Peruvu with this thing? That's the question. We're discussing the one mitzvah, peruvu. Can raising a child fulfill peruvu? You asked that before, and I'm telling you, the Gemara says you adopt a child, you fulfill peruvu. What that means is a debate in itself. What does fulfill mean? Ke'ilu, it doesn't say fulfill, it says ke'ilu fulfill. So you have to know a general rule. What does ke'ilu mean? That's a general machloikas all over Shas. What does the word ke'ilu mean? It's part of this conversation, but it's not exactly part of this conversation. Does adopting a child fulfill the mitzvah peruvu, which many people rely on? The Gemara says it openly. So the question, what that means, is it check the box at 613, or it's close enough that you check the box? The adopted child, it's a very serious, again, so as a basic question that you're asking, there are svarim written on this. The adopted child, if he hits his father, does he get killed as if a son hit a father? That's one of the Ten Commandments. Does adopted child inherit automatically? Another question. Does the adopted child, which becomes... In the Eitz HaPoiskim, one of the first things there, can an adopted child be alone in a room with his adopted parent if they're opposite genders? Is the word opposite or different? Yeah. Separate genders. Can they be alone in the room? These are halachic questions on an adopted child. When we say what the adopted child is, how far do we go? And that depends on who you're going to ask, what rabbis. I'm not that. But people who adopt children, hopefully they ask these questions, and these are serious questions, and hopefully every answer they get, they like. That's what I hope for. But then an adopted child is a whole different conversation on what to do. And again, there are separate forms written on it. But the naming of the child, do they tell the child? Halachically speaking, in the 1960s, the Hefchuvas, are you supposed to tell the child that you're... Now again, psychology changed. But in the 1960s, you look through Eitz HaPoiskim, that became a serious question. Do you tell the adopted child? Or do you not tell the adopted child? Do you have to tell the adopted child? That's all adopted children... Well, it depends if adopted from a Jew or not. He's saying, just because no one heard you, do you have to tell him? If you adopted a non-Jewish child, then at 13 years old, you must tell him that, by the way, you are not Jewish. You must accept it now. But if you adopt a Jewish child, you wouldn't have that issue.
Well, you call up
Aliyah Terah. So then the question is, do you give the stepfather's name, or do you tell him, if you have to tell him, and then he comes up with his own name, or he can use the stepfather's name? Again, calling up to the Torah again, is that going to, I don't want to sound anti-Gaboyim here, but if you got the wrong name, is that a big deal? So again, depends who they ask. So we have a very basic Gemara and Tosis right now. The Gemara says from Rabbi Yochanan that the non-Jew who converts will count his original non-Jewish children. If they remained non-Jewish or not, Machlokes Rambam and Tosis, and he will count them toward peruvu. We are also saying that non-Jews today do not have the obligation of the 613 mitzvahs. That is obvious, nothing to discuss. Today, even though not true, the Shilta said, yeah, but we're going with the Gang, they do not obligate it, and certainly Goyim in the old days might have been. Okay, that's all basic Gemara. Now the Gemara says another fascinating thing, was all within this Gemara as well. And we have, we'll skip that to Turevin. The Turevin asks a very serious question. The Halacha goes like this. The Halacha is, Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara discusses someone eating matzah who was forced to eat matzah. Forced to eat matzah. So Gemara says, what do you mean a guy's forced to eat matzah? You don't like matzah, but you're forced to eat. What's the case? Do you fulfill the mitzvah of matzah when you don't want to eat the matzah, but you're forced to eat the matzah? And the Gemara's example is when a guy has a certain type of illness, a certain type of mental illness, and kafu shreit it means, and the mental illness means at times he's clear, and at times he's not so clear. So what happens when the person eats the food during the 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. slot, where sadly the person was not aware what was going on? And then they wake up at 10 o'clock. Well, not wake up. Now they're clear again at 10 o'clock. And now they're, 10 o'clock, I need a Seder. And someone comes over, what do you need a Seder? You had the Seder. You just had a Seder. I don't think you remember what you just did. You just had a full Seder. You ate the matzah. Can you fulfill the eating of the matzah that you ate from the 9 to 10 o'clock slot when you were not aware of what was, not you, someone was not aware of what was going on? Does that count for the 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock slot when the person is definitely obligated to the mitzvah? And the Gemara clearly says no. The Gemara's basic ruling is that someone who fulfills a mitzvah when they're not bedaitim, and not bedaitim is not a emotional response. Not bedaitim means when someone is not well, they're not obligated. That's the crucial word. Someone who nebuch is not well, and from 9 to 10 is completely oblivious to the world that's going on, is not obligated to fulfill a mitzvah. So the Gemara is assuming in the Afchas Chesam Adal from Rosh Hashanah that when someone is not obligated to the mitzvah, and they did the mitzvah, but since they're not obligated, nobody cares. This comes up in today's world, let's say by a kid who's not by mitzvah yet, who becomes by mitzvah, he did the mitzvah and he wasn't really obligated as a child, now he became obligated in Sefiras Omer. Multiple examples, not relevant right now. But the point is, someone who actually fulfills a mitzvah at a time period when they're not obligated, thank you, but no thank you. You don't count. When you become obligated, do it again. So we tell a bar mitzvah boy at 13 years old, say Birchas HaTorah again, because you said Birchas HaTorah in the morning, you're a cotton. As a cotton, you're not biblically obligated. It's not biblical. You're going to get credit from God. Ainu mitzvah will get some form of credit, but it's not cool that you fulfilled the mitzvah. Now you're biblically obligated to do it again. That Birchas HaTorah is one of the things kids do when they turn 13. When a kid becomes 13, we tell them, by the way, everything you did this morning doesn't count. Do it again now. When you're not obligated, it doesn't count. So the Torah Revan has a kasha. When the guy produced the child, that happened 25 years ago, as a guy in today's world, according to most, there is no obligation for a guy Peruvu. A guy only has an obligation of 7 mitzvahs, and Peruvu does not make the cut of the 7 mitzvahs. So yes, he converted afterward. Yes, even according to the Rambam, the children converted afterward. Who cares? This child was produced as if from the 9 to 10 o'clock slot. When 9 to 10 o'clock, the person is not mentally aware, we don't care about the mentally aware. We mean the non-obligated. So if at 9 to 10, the person was not obligated, 8 matzah, open Gemara, 8 matzah, he cannot fulfill his matzah obligation by eating matzah from 9 to 10. Why? Because 9 to 10, the person's not considered 100%. And if you're not 100%, you're not obligated. Why does Peruvu, when he produced a child, when he was not obligated, what's the difference basically between a non-obligated Jew, non-obligated guy, and a non-obligated, mentally incapacitated person eating matzah? That's an answer we have to come up with. Why?
Then the one that is ill, okay, that's chashuv, ulo bedato, mshuga, okay? Berega, shi mshuga, ulo chaya b'shum daba. Lo mchalelim alav shabbat.
A guy is not mechayim either.
Oh, that's ligab bechiyu. That's something else. Chiyu. And if he fulfilled the mitzvah, that's something else. Shama medubar b'shote. Shote lo mchalelim alav shabbat.
I'm not saying you're right or wrong because you're not clear enough. You're not explaining. You're just saying that you think a shoyt is different than a goy.
Yeah,
you have to say why. I'm agreeing they're going to be different. You have to know why. But it's not totally in das. It's totally an obligation.
Yes, even so. So the question here: im hu yatzay dechova or lo yatzay dechova?
I'm not sure. Here,
doesn't the conversion correct this in Afraya?
Why? Would you do that with every mitzvah? And let's say a guy, which would be fat, there is a tshuva about someone who converts on Chol HaMoed Pesach. Someone who converts on Chol HaMoed Pesach, and he bought the chametz from the Jews. What does he do now with the chametz he bought if he converted? My grandfather wrote that tshuva up, and it was quoted in a few places. So there is that idea of someone converting on Pesach. That was, he's talking about Chol HaMoed. Let's say, according to you, someone converts somehow he got a bezin to sit down at 11 o'clock during the Seder, and the guy converts. And he ate matzah. I don't know why he ate matzah, but he ate matzah at 9 o'clock. Are you going to say Lemafre the matzah counts or not? If you say yes Lemafre, you're consistent. You might be consistently wrong, but at least you're consistent. The question, why? I'm not saying you're wrong. Why yes Lemafre? Why should I count Lemafre? He became a Jew today. Everything else he did counts? By the way, the Gemara discusses if the guy killed someone as a guy and he converts. He wants to get out. He wants to say, guess what? I read the Talmud. The Talmud says I'm a brand new person. I can marry my sister. That guy is the guy who killed the guy. I didn't kill that guy. That's a different person. He looks like me. He talks like me. Sounds like me, but it ain't me. Right? Can he get away with that?
No.
Every cell in your body changes. This is what they say. I don't know enough. Every cell in your body changes over 7 years. This is what I read somewhere once in science. So I was once giving a class, in a college class, and they were telling me, this came up, and they were all into the science, because science is the best terrorist field. So all this Nairish chitin. And at one point, I told the guy, listen, I have a good idea. In the American system, usually, sadly to say, it's wrong. We believe not that way, but usually the system works that until someone gets to court, it takes a lot of years. And the guy in Manhattan who was driving a truck got caught on the spot, that Arab guy, 3 years ago. He still hasn't gone to trial. There are videos and everything. He killed a bunch of people. If you remember that story in Lower Manhattan with the truck, he still hasn't gone to trial yet. It's an open shut case, and most normal people, it should have taken 7 minutes. He still hasn't gone to trial. So let's have a good idea. Let's wait 7 years, which happens a lot of times anyway. Wait 7 years, and you go into court, and they say, did you kill the guy? Zich not. That guy was a whole different cell than me. That guy might look like me and sound like me, but his whole body, that's not me. Every 7 years, every cell of my body, we changed. No one's, I would say, I'm not recommending killing anyone and trying that defense. But if you do, please get back to me if it works.
So you might want to make a differentiation between the mitzvah of matzah and the mitzvah of puruvu based on the concept of whether mitzvah has kavanah or not.
Maybe.
If matzah, when you eat matzah, You're not just eating matzah. You're eating matzah with the zechi and tzidus mitzrayim. It's part of a whole scenario.
It's not bad, except the assumption is wrong. Matzah probably doesn't need kavana. It's nice. It's extra. But if you, let's say you do not have kavana fulfilling matzah. Let's say you don't. Would you fulfill the mitzvah? Almost for sure.
Okay, but the point is...
Otherwise, a good start.
But the point is that
the
puro glue...
Right.
Is really a question of...
And you're making a double assumption. You're making the assumption that matzah needs kavana and that puro glue does not need kavana. Both assumptions are good and questionable. It means you might be right according to some, and you're definitely wrong according to others, on both assumptions.
But that's a way of differentiating between them.
If both assumptions are correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, but I think the difference would be is like this. By Pura Vu, the mitzvah is given before Matan Torah, either by Adam Arishon or by Noach. So there was a chiyuv at that time. So it's a chiyuv on a Bnei Noach. And since it's on a Bnei Noach, so even though the fulfillment of it
could be. Very good.
There.
Very good. Well, we'll probably do more, it depends on how much time we have, but yes. Definitely on the right track with different interpretations, correct. Correct. But at one point, the Gemara here says, which I didn't get to, the Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish had the same argument about a ger in another Gemara. We discussed the first Gemara. If a guy's Megayer, do his kids count for Puruvu? The Gemara says we have the same Achloikas of Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish relevant to the new child. So the guy was a guy, and now he converts, and now he has a child. What about that child, a thing no one ever heard of ever, comes up in an inheritance fight. No one ever heard of such a concept, right? So the new child says, wait a second, you know who I am? That guy started out. My father starts a clean slate when he converts. That makes me the firstborn. That makes me double a portion. But the father technically had kids, physically had kids, as a non-Jew. Do we count the non-Jewish kids to mess up, if you use such a phrase, mess up the double inheritance of the firstborn new child? The Gemara has this. And the Gemara says that Uzla Tamayu, if a person had a child when he was a guy, Vinis Gair, and then he became a guy. Rabbi Yochanan says what? Rabbi Yochanan who counts the non-Jewish children toward the mitzvah pruvu, whatever that means, non-Jewish children, says that the new one is not a bachar. The new one's not a bachar. Why? He already had children. And Rabbi Shlokish, who said before that the non-Jewish children don't count toward the ger's pruvu because the non-Jewish children don't count, whatever that means, he says what? The new Jewish child gets the Bechor L'Nacha. The Gemara says, okay, we have a double argument. It all makes sense. Gemara said, what's the difference? Because what you're getting to in a second. Gemara says, listen, we're very smart people here. If we would have one Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish, we would know the second. We know everything. We're smart people. Why do Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish have to argue twice? We're not pro-arguing in Judaism. We're anti-arguing in Judaism. So why do Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish have to have the same Machlokes twice? One by Puruvu and one by firstborn child getting a double inheritance. Open Gemara. So Gemara says, interesting, that if I only would have said one of them, I would have said that Rabbi Yochanan, if I only would have said Puruvu, it's a Gemara. If I only would have said Puruvu, Rabbi Yochanan would have said like this. We would have said on Rabbi Yochanan. You know why Rabbi Yochanan says Puruvu counts for a guy? Because of what he just said. Because Goyim Amalek Atzait were connected to the mitzvah of Puruvu. But it comes to Nachla, no Shaychas. Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Shlokish, come on into the room here, Rabbi Shlokish. I said it by Puruvu. What are you going to hold by Nachla? So Rabbi Shlokish says, the Shitasai. New child, double portion. I want to make public announcement, Rabbi Yochanan says. New child does not count because the old children count. So the Gemara says, when it comes to the reason why Rabbi Yochanan had to use both arguments against, and Rav Shlokish is reversed, we're not going into that, but he had to do both arguments. Rabbi Yochanan had to argue both times, even though it seems to be the same crux, lum, the stick of sugya, because there is a concept that at one point in time, goyim were connected to the mitzvah, whatever that means, but yes, you're on the point is you're 100% on the right track. That's a physical thing, maybe. That's why it's not discussing it. Correct. When it comes to a woman having that's why it says Yerusha. Yerusha is totally in the guy, and Petarechem, Pidyon HaBen, is totally in the girl. But the girl might be a physical thing. It might not be. Let's put this: if a woman has a miscarriage, Laylenu, the next kid out doesn't count. Miscarriage, whatever it is, too bad. So if a woman had a miscarriage, doesn't count. It could be as a guy, it certainly wouldn't count as well. That's why the Gemara is not discussing Pidyon HaBen, but is discussing Yerusha, because Yerusha is not totally in. First one out. You should tell you what's called first child. It's two different things.
Yeah, but
correct, which might include if she was a Giyaris and then became a Jew.
No.
Peta rechem doesn't say Jewish rechem. It's a physical thing. The first thing out. So if it's a miscarriage, count. Peta rechem means it opens up. So back to our question. I can't hear you. Right? Right? Because it's not based on what's called a child. It's called on what's called an opening. Different sugya. So we're back to the original question. The original question is from the Tur Evin. The Tur Evin says, I have a question. If the guy eats matzah from 9 to 10, we will not count it if he wakes up at 10 o'clock, or his case, if he converts at 10 o'clock, we're not going to count that matzah the 8 between 9 and 10. So why are we yes going to count the child that was born when he was not counted because he was still not a Jewish guy walking the streets? Why are we counting it? Tur Evin's kasha. So we're going to do the Michas Chinuch Teretz. Do I still go to 10:30 or I can go a little later just because I started later? Machloek is here. Now, no. Oh, someone else is waiting.
No. The other person starts
10:40. Okay. Okay. It's fine by me. It just means that. So now, the Michas Chinuch has a very Yesodist Tikkun Teretz. Michas Chinuch does in the order of the Sefer HaChinuch. So when he does the mitzvahs, he goes in the order of the Sefer HaChinuch writing it. And therefore, it's mitzvah Aleph in the Sefer HaChinuch. And therefore, it's mitzvah alf in this Michas Chinuch. A very yesoidistic concept he comes up with. And with this concept, the Michas Chinuch not only answers this question, he answers six or seven other vital questions on the sugya of Puruvu. And his answer is this. What is the mitzvah of Puruvu? So, and when do you fulfill, more importantly, when do you fulfill the mitzvah of Puruvu? So most people, prior to the Michas Chinuch, and maybe a couple people say it similar, that the assumption is that when the child is either created, when the man and woman are together, or 3 days later when it's really created, or 40 days later when it's considered created, or when the child comes out. At that point in time, we're going to argue about details not for this conversation. We could get to it, but not now. We're running out of time. But at those early stages, we'll say it, that's a better phrase, those early stages from when the husband and wife get together, they don't have to be married, but the man and woman get together, at that point until 9 months later, within that time frame, the guy did what he has to do. Right now, none of you are doing anything for your kids as far as the mitzvah pruvu. Hopefully you're being nice to them, you're giving them food, but you're not doing anything as far as mitzvah pruvu. The mitzvah pruvu occurred at a long time ago. The Michas Chinuch says that is a fundamental mistake. The mitzvah of pruvu is not creating children, producing children. The mitzvah of pruvu is having presently children, continuously having children, which means there's no such thing, he says, not to dabir matzah. Because matzah, the obligation is to eat matzah. It's not to be full of matzah. Matzah stays in your stomach, depends on the person's 38 hours, right? It depends on what type of whole wheat matzah or not, right? You eat matzah, you're full for 2 days, right? Especially if you're having two kazesim at the same time, right? When do you fulfill the mitzvah matzah? When you ate the matzah or when the matzah's filling you up? When you ate the matzah. It fills you up is relevant to the laws of Birch Samazan. But negated to the mitzvah of matzah, when you eat the matzah, you fulfill the mitzvah. So if it takes you, it depends on what rabbi you ask, 6 minutes to eat the kazayis and matzah, during those 6 minutes, you fulfill the mitzvah. What happens after 6 minutes? You fulfilled, past tense, the mitzvah. You don't have to do anything anymore. You ate the mitzvah, you're fine. So what happens when a guy is not 100% between 9 and 10, or the guy, according to your case, is a guy between 9 and 10? He did everything he had to do at a time he was not obligated, because he wasn't mentally aware, or he was a guy. So what happens now? He wakes up right now, or he becomes a guy right now. What happened yesterday? Who cares what happened yesterday? You weren't obligated. It was irrelevant. You're not doing anything right now. But when it comes to the mitzvah puruvu, the mitzvah is not to produce a child. The mitzvah is to presently have a child. So guess what we tell this guy who converted? You presently have a child. Since you presently have a child, that child counts toward puruvu. The Michas Chinuch uses this to answer many questions. But the easiest one on the page...
And has yachas.
And has yachas. Excellent. The easiest... Yes? And the easiest one he says is this. The Gemara says... Machloikis, but we're going with the sheet of the Rambam. The Gemara says that if someone produces children and then Nebuch Le'olenu, a kid passes away, guess what? He no longer fulfills the mitzvah puruvu. So if someone had a boy and a girl, if he has more, nobody, whatever, everyone cares, but it's not relevant to the mitzvah. But if someone has a boy and a girl and one of them passes away, he is obligated again to produce children. If he's 88 years old, go speak to a doctor or your rabbi. But a person is, why? Why? What do you mean the guy produced children? I'll tell you why. Because it's not producing children, it's having children. And if the kid Le'olenu passed away, you no longer, if that's the situation, he has a boy and a girl, since you no longer have a boy and a girl, you are re-obligated now to have children. If you're going to have grandchildren, there are ways around it. He was first.
If the child is Shuva from Rav Moshe Feinstein that to be Mekayim Puravu is not having a boy and a girl, it's trying. So if the man and wife have relations, it could take...
Yes and no. This Shuva Rav Moshe quotes this Mechas Chinuch. That's not what he said, or it's not exactly what he's saying. He's saying, just to be clear, Rav Moshe was saying, which is true, even though the mitzvah is having children, what do I do about that? Your chiyuv is to try to have children. You're not successful in fulfilling the mitzvah until you have children. And as we all know, we have no say in the matter if we're going to have children. We have no ability to have children. We have an ability to try to have children. Our obligation might be to try to have children. But our fulfillment is having the children, which is a God-given gift to have children, which means at that moment we fulfilled. And Nebuchadnezzar passed away, God decided, we no longer fulfilled. If a guy converts, says he has children, it counts. Fine. Fine. Yes, the Gemara says if someone's child passed away, the grandchildren could substitute themselves for the father. So, the Michas Chinuch's massive yisoid, which other people seem to say it also, it's massive yisoid, mitzvah aleph in the Michas Chinuch, one of the great ones, mitzvah aleph says that the fundamental concept of the mitzvah pruvu is not to try to produce children. It's to try to have children. He's going to answer this two Rebbe's kasha with this, and as I just told you, he's going to answer the question, wasn't really a question, but sort of someone who has children, Zolei Yelein, who passed away, and because, I don't know anyone's name here, because he has a question with something else. According to the Michas Chinuch, what you bring up before, you brought up a quote, what about, is there an obligation to have kavana, intent, to fulfill the mitzvah pruvu? It happens to be that the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvahs writes, very unique, writes that when someone is with his woman trying to have children, he has to have kavana. Most mitzvahs, b'di'evah, don't need kavana. What is the Rambam talking about? It's a massive Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs that people discuss. But we're not going to discuss what that means exactly. We're going to discuss something else. When do you have to have kavana? Depends what the mitzvah is. If the mitzvah is to produce, try to produce a child, then ba'is zman, or right before, or whatever, you try to have a couple of seconds to think that I'm trying to produce a child. Trying to fulfill the mitzvah, you take a second off to think about it before anything happens. Why? Because that's the mitzvah. But if you learn like the Michas Chinuch, which others agree as well, that the mitzvah is not to produce a child, the mitzvah is to have a child, some want to say that you know when you do the kavana? At the bris of the child. At the bris of the child, which is really 8 days after, whatever, they want to say, again, it has to be you have the girl first and the boy. There's all technical details how to work this out, but the idea would be that you have to have. Now, since I'm assuming most people in this room fulfill the mitzvah hope, and if not, it's not your choice, don't worry about it, it's Hashem's choice. And if you did fulfill the mitzvah, probably since you never heard this idea, because it's a very rare thing to have kavana when at the bris or at the girl's kiddush, I'm assuming nobody did it. So I will tell you right now, do it right now. Right now, instead of paying attention to me, think for 1 second, I have a boy and a girl, or by the way, according to many, two boys would be as well good anyway, or I have, according to one in the back, I have grandchildren. I am now presently having kavana to fulfill the mitzvah peruvu. Because according to the Shita, having children is the mitzvah, is the fulfillment of the mitzvah. And kavana might be necessary, but would assume, according to the Rambam, that it is a requirement by this mitzvah, which is an exception. When do you have kavana? You have the kavana anytime when you have the children. You have the kavana right now. In Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we should continue with this, or tomorrow we do the machshava? To continue with this tomorrow, it's up to you guys.